There's a fascinating Gemara in Yuma, Pei Vav. I think we're all familiar with it, but I don't know how many of us were ever really aimed on the aimic of the Gemara. The Gemara says that if a person does tshuva me'ava, if you do tshuva because you sincerely love the Rabbeinu Shleilam and you want to get close to him, you're not doing it mitayach yira. Zdainais arnasu kizachuyais, which means that all of the averis that we've done become actual merits to us. It's not alone enough that HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply deletes the averis from the record, which would be a chesed elyon in and of itself, but we have the amazing dividend that the averis that we've done actually flip and they turn into mitzvahs. How do you understand that? What is the aimek hadavar? How does such a thing happen? I mean, I did an avera, okay? People that do avera should close the door very quietly, very gently, because you don't have what to be proud of. Now I do tshuva, so we delete the record. But to say that the Rabbeinu Shalom has such rachamim that our avera somehow, they don't just go away, but they actually turn into mitzvahs, that's beyond our human comprehension. But yet this is what Chazal tell us. And if this is what Chazal tell us, then there has to be a very, very deep aimek to this. There has to be a svara to this. There has to be some understanding. So comes along Rav Baruch Ber, the great Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz, Rav Shiva of Kamenetz, and he says a one-line vart. And whenever I say this vart, people laugh, and I laugh, because it's such a funny thing. He says that the avera is a hechsher mitzvah. If I didn't do Lashon Hara, then I wouldn't have the opportunity to do tshuva for the Lashon Hara. So therefore, in retrospect, the Lashon Hara that I spoke was actually a hechatimtza for tshuva. It's a hechsher mitzvah. It's just like preparing for a mitzvah. You have to buy a lulav and esrog these days. You have to make sure they have proper aravis and hadasim and bind it all together. That's the hechsher mitzvah. That's the preparation. The actual mitzvah is the shaking of the lulav. The maisa mitzvah is tshuva, but the hechsher mitzvah is the avera. And this is something also. It's a beautiful vart. It's adorable maybe, but it needs an aimek. It needs understanding. I want to share with you tonight a beautiful Baal Shem Tov that I saw. There's a gorgeous pasuk in Yirmiyahu. The pasuk in Yirmiyahu in Perek Nun pasuk Chaf says as follows: Bayamim ha'hem uva'es ha'hi nom Hashem. In those days, in the future, sometime in the future, uva'es ha'hi, and in that time, says Hashem, Yevukash es havein Yisrael veinenu. I will seek out, says Hashem, the averis of Klal Yisrael veinenu, but they're not going to be. I'll look for them. I'm going to search them out, but I'm not going to find them. Ki eslach lasher asher, because I'm going to forgive those that I have that remain. Whoever remains of Klal Yisrael, Lassad Lavai, I will forgive them. I will be Yevukash, Avain Yisrael, Veinenu. I'm going to search for their Averis, but there's none to be found. Frek Dehelag of Hashem, I don't understand this pasuk. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive Klal Yisrael, so then what are you searching for the Averis for? They're gone. Ki Eslach Lasher Asher, I have forgiven you. So what are you looking for them for? Zakta Baal Shem, because of this Gemara, because if a person does tshuva me'ava, the averis are nasa kizchuyais, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his infinite wisdom, is going to be looking desperately for more averis for us. Maybe you spoke Lashon Hara. Maybe you did that. Maybe you did this wrong. Because I want to give you more schar. Ve'enena, they're not going to be here anymore because all of them have already turned into mitzvahs. They're all nasa kizachiyas. And what I wanted to say on this vart is that in order for this to work, for tshuva me'ava, to flip the averis into mitzvahs, there has to be a yevukash. There has to be a search for those averis. There has to be an analyzation of those averis. You know, there's a place, if you drive up to the Catskills, right where the Palisade sort of turns into the 17, somewhere in between those areas, I think it's called the 6th. There's a big college. It's called West Point. West Point is like the Ivy League of military academies, military schools. And I visited there. It's a beautiful, beautiful campus. It's, maybe 100 acres. It's huge. And they have a lot of playing fields. And they have beautiful castle-like buildings. And they have cadets walking around with their starched uniforms. These are for the upper echelons of the military. These are the people that are going to be, you know, in the war rooms. And they're going to be on the front lines. They're going to be the generals and the... This is where they're all bred, in West Point. And I ask you, what do they do in West Point? What are they busy with all day? They're learning a Shver Ashba. What are they busy with, these people, all day? What are they? They're going to class. It's a university. You get credits. What are they doing all day and all night? And the answer is that what they're doing is they're reviewing and analyzing and understanding every battle in modern history. What went wrong in Vietnam? How did America fall into this quagmire of Vietnam that we would lose a war? What happened? In this battle we did this, we got ambushed, we didn't realize the enemy, we don't know, the people were demoralized, the soldiers didn't know who the enemy was, and in the Korean War it was a little bit of this, and in the Persian Gulf War it was that. Just as an aside, they once asked one of the West Point Rosh Yeshivas, you know, one of the dean of West Point, like, do you ever study the battles at Israel, the modern state of Israel? Do you ever study those battles? And he said, no. He says, we study war. We can't study miracles. We don't understand miracles here in West Point. We study war. We go with a strategy with B'derech HaTeva. Says all of Israel's battles are all Shalaika Derech HaTeva. They're all miraculous, every one of them. And we could talk about the Hashgacha Pratis of every single one of those battles. When we're waging war against our Yetzirah, just doing tshuva alone is not enough. This is what the Musar Sfarim say. Tshuva alone, just clapping al chet and saying al chet shechatanu v'necha b'lashon hara. And I use Lashon Hara as the generic Avera, but we all know that there's a lot of other Averas that each and every one of us are engaging in that are unspeakable in public. But whatever those Averas may be, if we're just going to say it and expect them to magically go away, it's not the way to do it. That's not how you fight a battle. You fight a battle by understanding the enemy. By understanding in the Lashon Rabbeinu Yaina ki paruahu, that you know that you were exposed under certain conditions in battle, you know what happens to you every time you do that, and so you have to learn from those averus. You have to learn from the war that you may have lost, those skirmishes, that some of them we maybe won, but a lot of them we lost over the course of the year, and try to understand, how did we go wrong? How did it happen? We have to have a West Point, like a war class of understanding the Aver. It has to be Yevukash Es Avayin Yisrael. You have to analyze it a little bit. How did it happen that I was in my room and I did that Aver? How did that happen? Oh, I know, because I had my laptop with me and it was unfiltered and my roommates were away and I was in a funny mood and I was bored and I was this and I was that and I was angry about this. And okay, so now you have to understand if this is what I did wrong, now there's a wealth of information to be gleaned from that, and let's try to protect ourselves going forward. And when we're able to go and understand where we went wrong in our averus, and we do tshuva me'av, I don't want to go there, I love you, Hashem, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to disappoint you and myself anymore, and my neshama, I can't. When a person does that, now I understand how it's a hechsher mitzvah to go back to the avera and to learn from it, and that's how it flips into the greatest chos, because you're learning from your avera what not to do going forward. Yevukash es havain Yisrael ve'inenu. You have to seek out the averus, understand from the losses how you went wrong, what you did wrong, like a football player or basketball player watches film, right, of their opponents and this guy, this player, and what did we do wrong in this game and that game. That's what we have to do. If we really want to take our tshuva seriously, we want to not repeat our mistakes of the past, we have to understand the lessons of those averus. We go back and we think, how did I go wrong? Why was I so weak? I mentioned the other day in Nevada, I had a roommate in one of the yeshivas that I learned in, and he wasn't wearing tefillin for weeks and weeks. He was a Ben Taira, he was learning in yeshiva, and everything was, but my roommate and I noticed that he wasn't wearing tefillin. How do we, and we didn't know. We went down to the Beis Medrash, and he just woke up, and 2 minutes later, he's down to the Beis Medrash. We put a cotton ball on top of his tefillin, which was on top of his locker, and that cotton ball did not move for weeks. We didn't know what to do. We didn't want to embarrass him. So we went to a chashuba avreich in the yeshiva. We said, what do we do? He said, very pasha, you learn with him hilchas tefillin. Make a seder with him hilchas tefillin. And then once you learn hilchas tefillin, you can't but put on tefillin. And while I'm learning hilchas tefillin, I'm not doing it. And sure enough, like a charm, it worked. Today he's a very big marbitz taira. He's a beautiful mishpacha. I bump into him every once in a while by simchas. Why didn't he put on tefillin? He had issues he had to work out. But you have an issue, you have a weakness in a certain avera, you have to learn about it. You have to study it. You have to know what you did right and what you did wrong and how to go forward. There's a wealth of knowledge. If you want to flip the avera into a mitzvah, you have to study the avera, learn from it, and let it be a hechsher mitzvah. It's the hechsher mitzvah of real tshuva. To effect real change, you have to understand where you went wrong and go forward with that understanding so you could fight the next battle more successfully. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Never is HaKadosh Baruch Hu expecting us to be perfect. We're human beings. Ki yada yitzreinu zachar ki yafra anachnu. But at the same time, we're expected to try. And if we try, that's all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. But I want to tell you one more thing. That's the Sur Meirah part of this understanding. But I believe there's another, perhaps more important yesod. And this is what I really want you to take away from tonight. There's a famous medrash. The medrash is really made famous by the Beis HaLevi. I'm going to say a pshat a little bit different than the Beis HaLevi, but in the Beis HaLevi parashas B'shalach, and he says as follows. There's a medrash that says that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Be'oz chatasi, I sinned with the word oz, uba'oz ani aymer shira. And with that same word oz, I'm going to sing shira. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I sinned with the word oz, ki me'oz basi al parai heira lamazeh. I complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from then, from Oz, the time that you sent me to Paro to be your emissary. I messed up everything. Heir Olam Hazeh, it just became much worse for Klal Yisrael. I was being Misraim against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Uba Oz, Ani Aymer Shir, I'm going to use that same word Oz. I'm going to employ that word Oz that I sinned with, and I'm going to use it to sing Shira with. And I think that the Pshat, the oimek of this medrash is that you have to, in life, learn how to convert sin into song. You have to be able to take an avera that you do, the word oz in this case, and sing shira with that very same word, with oz. And when we're able to figure out how to do that, to use our passions and our desires that we used in a very trefina way, if we're able to convert those passions, convert those desires into a positive, those are the people that are the most matzliach in life. There's a great story that the Gemara speaks about between two of the greatest Amiram that we know of, Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan was always the great Rabbi Yochanan since he was a child. He was a tzaddik, he was a Talmud Chacham, Muflag, he was one of the greatest. Reish Lakish, the Gemara says, was an armed robber, he was a bandit. And Rabbi Yochanan was very beautiful. Reish Lakish was very strong, he had brute force. That's how he was so successful in mugging and being a bandit. And one time they met in a river, in a lake. Rabbi Yochanan was in the lake. All of a sudden, Reish Lakish jumps like very far, like a superhero, very far into the lake and showing incredible strength. And Rabbi Yochanan, with his beauty, looks at Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish, with his strength, looks at Rabbi Yochanan. And Reish Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, "You're beautiful, but you're a rabbi? No, yayfiach lenashim. Use your great beauty. You're so handsome. You're so attractive. You should be able. You'd be able to get any of the opposite sex that you want. Anyone. You're beautiful." Use the force that use this power that you have, this beauty. Use it lenashim. And Rabbi Yochanan looks at Reish Lakish and says, "Chelach la'iraisa. Take your strength. You're so strong, and use it for Tyra." And Reish Lakish says, "I don't know. I have this. I make a parnasa. I'm a bandit. Can't start being a Talmud Chacham." Rabbi Yochanan says, "You think that I'm good looking?" He says, "I have a sister who's more beautiful than I. And if you become a Baal Tshuva, and you become a great leader of Klal Yisrael, I will give you my sister." And the Kachava, Reish Lakish married Rabbi Yochanan's sister, and Reish Lakish became the great Reish Lakish. What does that mean? Chelach la'iraisa. What it means is that the greatest way that a person can learn Torah is by understanding the power that he has within. How do you know the power that you have within? How do you know the passion, the ambition, the desire that you're going to have in order to become great in learning? It takes a lot to become great in learning. A lot of ambition, a lot of zitzfeish, a lot of aravanya, a lot of amelos. How do you know if you have that or not? How do you know if you're cut out for this that we call amelos in Torah? Well, very easy. What's your habits? What are the habits of you? B'milei da'alma. Are you a strong person? Yes, I am. I'm very strong. Are you committed to things? Yes, I'm very committed to what I want to do. No one can stop me. Do you have ambition? Oh, nobody has ambitions like I do. What do you use your ambitions for? Rabbi, you don't want to know. You don't want to know what I use my ambition, what I use my taiva, my desire, all of the talents, all the kishra. You don't want to know. But trust me, I have more talent in my finger than you can ever imagine. Chelach la'iraisa. All of that shows, Kimea Edim, that you will be the greatest Talmud Chacham in the world. All you have to do is flip those passions of what you're doing now and just simply convert those to Torah, and there will be no one greater than you. We look at ourselves like Avaryanim. We look at ourselves that we have done so many Averas, we have so much guilt, we have so much to be ashamed of. And I'm not going to comment on that. That's completely a personal issue, and you have to deal with Hashem in a couple of days' time with that. But what I will tell you is that you, if you want to do tshuva me'ava, don't ignore those averis. Learn from them, like we said before, the West Point mashal, but also understand from them how powerful you are. Those chisreinus that you perceive as chisreinus are your greatest milas. I've spoken to people that are in Kiruv, and you know what they told me? They told me that the people that are indifferent about Yiddishkeit, about religion, they can never change. They can never turn into a Baal Tshuva because they're just indifferent. They don't care. Everything is cynical. You know who the people that really become the greatest Baal Tshuva? It's the people that are so negative. They're against Yiddishkeit. They're passionate about their antithesis to Yiddishkeit, about their war against Yiddishkeit. This is fake and that's fake. I don't believe in this. I don't believe it. Those are people that are ripe for the picking because they have such a passion for something. They're not indifferent. They care about something. If you care about something, that means you're alive. It means you have an neshama. It means you have drive. And that's the most beautiful thing in the world. Okay, until now the Yetzirah hijacked that drive. But it doesn't have to be that way forever. We're in Aseres Yemei Tshuva and say, I want to convert all of those drives, all of those passions to the Letzad HaTov. There's a great Hasidish tale that I love. There was once a Hasidish rabbi, I don't know who it is, so I'm not going to say who I think it was. It doesn't matter. It was one of the great rabbis. And, you know, the rabbis had this ability to go up on Rosh Hashanah, Kippur Shamayim, and, you know, and open the gates for Klal Yisrael and be able to mashpia good for the whole world and the whole people, the whole nation. And one year, this Rebbe was very troubled. He says, I can't. Something is blocking. There's like a tremendous mavdil. And he said to a shamish, he said, I want you to gather all of the thieves in town. Get all the thieves in town and gather, bring them to shul right now. It's Yom Kippur, it's Kol Nidre night. Get them here. If they're busy breaking into people's homes tonight, tell them to stop, take a break, come to shul. And he gathers them all up and he gathers them around and gives them all a Kol Nidre, a machzer, and says, say a few tefillas. And they say a few tefillas and he says, now everything is fine. They said, Rebbe, what'd you do with these people? He says, don't you understand that the gates of heaven were locked? I couldn't open them. So what did I do? I called the thieves of town. They know how to pick a lock. They could pick a lock like no one else. It takes them 2 minutes. They jiggle around with it. They're able to open a lock. And they were able to be Paiseach Shari Shamayim. What does this mean, this story? What the story, I believe, means is that if you have a kishrin to do something, it's an avera. You're a ganef. You know how to pick locks. Or you know how to do things that are really, really bad, but you're passionate about those things that are bad. And you're obsessed with those things that are bad. That's not a good thing. But you're so powerful. You are so powerful. There is no force in the world that could stop you when you decide to go to the positive, to use those abilities that you have to pick locks, to open the Shari Shamayim, because that's exactly what you have. There's a story that's told about a Baal Tshuva who was a real person that acted on his taivas before he became from. And then he became from, and the hardest day of the year was Erev Yom Kippur. Why was Erev Yom Kippur the hardest day of the year? Because he had to go to the mikveh, and he had to unbutton his shirt, and on his chest, on his arms, on his legs, were tattoos. He had tattoos all over his body, tattoos with people's names on it. He had tattoos of anything and everything. You can use your imagination. And Nebuch, this Baal Tshuva, he wanted to go into the mikveh surrounded by all these chassidim, by Anshei Maisa. But he was so ashamed. He tried to go early in the morning, but even early in the morning, people were there and they were staring at him. And he was petrified. He was mortified. And in the mikvah, there was also standing around and noticing the scene as it was playing itself out. There was an old yid. And this old yid comes and says, "Come here. I want to show you something." And he shows him his arm. He says, "Look, I have a tattoo also. I have numbers on my arm. I also have a tattoo. You have a tattoo. I have a tattoo. So let's go into the mikveh together." We all are branded with our own averus. We all have a lot that we carry around in our minds, on our conscience, in our heart, in our neshama, and we think that we're unforgivable. We're just like, "I'm not a ben taira. I claim to be a ben taira. I'm in a yeshiva. People think I'm a ben taira, but I know b'chadri chadarim what I do, and I'm not like everybody else in the room. And I'm here tonight to tell you that if you have taivas, mashcheil beis medrash, the Gemara says, ki paga bach menuvel zeh, we're going to learn it in Maseches Kedushin later, ki paga bach menuvel zeh, if you bump into this terrible, disgusting menuvel, the Eitzahara, this disgusting bria, mashcheil beis medrash, pull it into the beis medrash." And everybody asked, "We didn't pull it into the base medrash. Throw it away. Throw it in the garbage. What do you mean? You're bringing your menuvel into the base medrash?" And the answer is yes. That menuvel that you have, that taiva, that desire, that chemda, that rotzain, that she'ifa, that was used up until today for sometimes very bad things. Mashcheil base medrash. Schlep that into the base medrash. Convert it. That's your tattoo, but it becomes the greatest source of pride. This is your honor. Yes, you do tshuva. If you do tshuva me'ava, and you understand the lesson that we're learning here tonight together, all as one, myself included, then you understand now so clearly the beauty of this chazal, that the avaynes nasas kizchuyes, is there a greater zchus than having those averis and being able to convert them letzad ha'tayv? Those averis, don't throw them out. You don't want to chuck them. You want to cherish them. Not them themselves, of course, but the drive behind them, the creativity that you have, the ability to think, the ability to imagine that you've used letzad hara, now use it letzad ha'tayv. The beauty that you've seen in nature on the other side, now see it in Taira. The chelach, the strength that you had to use l'dvar avera, now use it l'tzad ha'tayv l'ayraisa. That's what I believe Chazal means when they say that the avaynes are nasas kizchuyais. It's a hechsher mitzvah. Is there any greater hechsher mitzvah than an avera in a sense? Obviously, we don't go and do an avera as a hechsher mitzvah because someday I want to do tshuva, but in retrospect, if we look in the year that passed and we say, "Wow, I did all of those averas," no, don't look at them as averas. Look at them as a hechsher mitzvah. Look at them as a way, as a stepping stone to jump into the world of tshuva, the world of taira, the world of she'ifa, because you're going to need all of that in the Beis Medrash. All that creativity goes to Chidush HaTorah. All that strength goes to Hamelos. All the Ratzin goes to being the want, the desire to be a Ben Torah, to be a Talmud Chacham, to be a Yedei Sefer. Mashcheil Beis Medrash. Schlep that into the Beis Medrash. That will be your greatest pride. That will be the booster rockets that propel you into stratospheres that you at one point thought were impossible to ever attain for somebody like you. No, it's specifically you that will attain those things because you have everything that it takes. You have to turn sin into song. May az basi al parai, az yasher maisha. You ever notice that the Ashamnus, Ashkenazim, sing? I had a friend who was a Sephardi. He said, "What in the world are you vujvujing doing? What are you doing? Ashkenazi, are you crazy? You're singing Ashamnus? I sing and I stole and I robbed and I killed and I maimed and I brutalized people. What are you doing?" And the answer is that we're turning sin into song. We're saying, yes, Ashamnu. But because I was Ashamnu, you're going to see how I take the force behind that Ashamnu, that passion that I had to sin against you, Hashem, and I'm going to be your most loyal, faithful servant. But God knew, yes, I was treasonous against you, but now I learned from that treason how to be the most wonderful servant. Gazalnu, I've stolen from people, I've picked locks, but now I'll pick the Shari Shamayim. I will open up the gates of heaven because I know how. Nobody else might know, but I do know. Dibarnu Daife, I spoke badly, but I know the power of speech, and I'll use it now for Torah Tefillah, speaking well about others. I can convert my sin into song, and I could sing. A Yid could sing Ashamnu, because that's exactly the way we're going to convert all of the Averis into the greatest mitzvahs. The Hechsher mitzvah becomes the Hechster mitzvah. The highest form of mitzvah comes from the Averis that we've done, that we've learned our mistakes from. We're never going to repeat it because we've learned the battle plans, but also we learn the passion that we have inside of us. And now we're going to convert it, we're going to change it, we're going to morph all of that into becoming the closest Avdei Hashem that the Rabbeinu Shalom has ever seen.